one of the main supports for the effort in this practice is the use of questions. Am I aware of what? What's the attitude? And I wanted to just say a few words about that piece, because when we have a relationship with questions sometimes, and a habit perhaps of trying to figure out an answer to a question, of thinking about it, when we drop a question into our mind, it might propel a habit of thinking about or trying to answer the question. And that's not what these questions are meant to encourage. So I like to offer an analogy that for the use of these questions. If we have a pond that's relatively still, calm, and we drop a pebble into that pond, there will be ripples from dropping that pebble into the pond. As the mind settles a little bit, even just a little bit, in being aware, you know, what's obvious is like dropping that pebble into the pond, and you don't try to figure out what's obvious, but it's more like you drop that pebble in and then see what the ripple is, what happens as a result of that. Another analogy might be you're standing at a door and you ring the doorbell. That's what asking the question is. You don't know who's going to answer the door, what's going to appear as the door opens. That's the way of using these questions. Sayadaw says, and this I think is different for different minds, that using a question in the mind kind of spurs the natural interest and curiosity of the mind. So it's a way of tapping into that capacity of the mind to be interested and curious without thinking about it, without trying to answer the question. So you can play with using the questions, but if you do find that the questions create a lot of thinking, then just try noticing, not using the words, just, okay, and kind of wordlessly, this is awareness. Sometimes it feels more like a, just a little kind of tilt of the head or a gesture to acknowledge something. So those of you who are newer to this practice, I'd encourage you to play a little bit with this notion of the questions as being a kind of a ringing of a doorbell or dropping in of a pebble into the pond and seeing what the response is. Because like with any tool, it can take time for the mind to attune and adjust to a new tool. But you can also let go of it and just play with more of a wordless acknowledgement of awareness and what I'm aware of. So this afternoon at the Dhamma offering, I'll elaborate a little bit on some of the key points of the instructions. And there will be time following that for some questions. So we're not going to have questions right now in the hall. I'd like you to practice, play with these instructions, see what happens. Sometimes as we play with instructions, holding those questions. Maybe you have questions right now, but hold that question. Just be curious. Let that be a question that's dropped into your meditation as opposed to looking for an answer. And maybe your meditation will answer the question. And maybe not. So bring the questions to the Dhamma offering this afternoon. So we'll be shifting into walking practice in just a little while. So just a few words about walking meditation. The instructions are the same. There's no distinction in the instructions for sitting practice, walking practice, eating practice, lying down practice, yogi job practice. The instructions are the same. And this is one of the things that feels most powerful about this form of practice, that on the cushion, off the cushion, on retreat, off retreat, the instructions are the same. Conditions, different in different situations, will have us recognizing, seeing different experiences in different situations. Formal practice on the cushion, the mind can get much quieter, much more still, can see into much finer detail of what's going on in the mind. In daily life, driving a car or working on the computer, a different level of what we're aware of. But the instructions are the same. And so for walking, we start with a kind of relaxation. Relax. For walking, relaxation, you know, can physically relax the body, but sometimes, before you start walking, that is, you could physically relax the body, but sometimes the relaxation can come into how we're walking. There's kind of a pace that we can walk at where our body and mind just kind of land and go, oh yeah, that feels like the right pace right now. And so often at the beginning of a walking, it's helpful to play with the pace. Find the pace that feels most easeful, most relaxed, most comfortable. So play with the pace, and that's kind of the exploration of relaxation at the beginning of the walking. Let yourself find that pace that feels easy. And then, recognizing that we're aware, while walking. Actually, Sayadaw, in one of my group interviews with Sayadaw, one of the other participants asked him, so tell me how you practice walking meditation. How do you do it? And he said, well, I don't practice walking meditation. I practice awareness while I'm walking. And so that flips it around a little bit. We're walking and recognizing that we're aware and what we're aware of. So relax, find the easeful pace, notice awareness, and what is obvious. What is obvious while walking will be different for most of us than while sitting. First of all, we're moving. The body is physically moving. There may be more, this room is very quiet, and so there may be more attunement to sound walking, especially if you're walking outside. And for many of us, seeing will be much more a part of the experience. So the encouragement is just to walk naturally and notice how does the body and mind do this? It does some looking, some hearing, some feeling of the way the body's moving. So the attention will shift from experience to experience, sometimes just into the mind, knowing what it's thinking about. So this kind of attuning to the shift of attention. And this is, we do this in sitting meditation too, but in the walking, maybe we can really get familiar with this quality of the shift of attention. So just a few words about some different ways attention functions. So we'll start with the kind of exploring this through the field of hearing. We can kind of settle back and just be aware of the ambient sound. And then there may be times when the mind kind of tunes into one piece of that sound and listens to it. Maybe like we might listening to a piece of music, of orchestral music. There might be times when we're just in the broader sense of the flow of the music and not like tuning into anything in particular, but just receiving the overall gestalt or feeling, the flavor of the orchestra. And then every now and then we might kind of tune into the oboe, just listen, track that particular experience. So that's a shift in a way from a broader kind of attention to a more focused kind of attention. Almost like a more of a being with the hearing versus listening to something in the field. Being with versus listening to. In the field of seeing, also, we can know this. There are times where we're taking in a broader sense of seeing, and then our attention is drawn to something, and we look at it. A shift from seeing to looking. This kind of shift helps us to begin to recognize the function of attention. And this is likely to be a big part of what happens in the walking, noticing how the attention shifts. It may shift from seeing to looking. It may shift from seeing to listening. It may shift from hearing to looking. It may shift from hearing to listening. Or from hearing to feeling a sensation of something on your, a distinct pressure on your foot. So you may notice the shift of attention. We're not trying to stay with the broader field necessarily. So sometimes we might think that, you know, it's like, okay, I want to just be in the ambient sound or just in the broad seeing and not look at anything. Well, our minds look at things. They listen to things. We're exploring, what are our minds doing? And so noticing that shift. We don't have to stop listening or stop looking or stop having that focus of attention on a particular sensation. Just know that that has happened. And then neither tarrying nor hurrying, you don't have to stick to it either. It's the next thing. The attention may shift to something else or it may broaden back out. So this exploration in the walking. So we're not narrowing the field of attention down just to the physicality of walking. It really is a very broad practice here that we're cultivating the mindfulness of the entirety of our physical and mental realm, right from the beginning of this practice. And for those of you really new to this, as I said in the guided meditation, if it feels too chaotic at the beginning, pick something obvious, like for the walking. Maybe pick the sensation of your steps, just one after the other. But then see if you cannot try to stay there. Let the attention be a little more relaxed, allow the shift of attention to happen and see perhaps if there can be a sense of following the attention. Following that shift of attention. And then occasionally checking in to the relationship, the attitude. How am I with what is happening? You could also check into the emotional realm as a way to open up to that realm of attitude. Because sometimes the attitudes have the flavor of an emotional quality. So noticing the effect or the impact of your experience on the mind, liking it, not liking it, delighted, frustrated, easeful, curious, just being interested in how we are in connection to the experience.